Well, this is our final week of our series that we've been doing on generosity. And I have just absolutely been loving it, loving talking with you guys, hearing what the Lord is speaking to you, hearing where you've been challenged, where you've been, just really digging in. And it's just been so fun. So we've been talking about a lot of different ways with generosity, with our time, with wisdom, hospitality, money, resources, generosity towards ourselves. But what about generosity in our attitude towards others? Like, dun, 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 little shark music there. That's what we're going to talk about today, is our attitude towards other people. And if anybody has known me for more than 5 minutes, you're probably like, why are you the one talking about this, right? It should be somebody that is naturally super good at this. And I agree. I was arguing with Joshua this week a little bit, like, you should do it. You're like the house expert. But yet here I am. So sorry, guys. In all seriousness, this is something that I have had to work hard on, and it doesn't come naturally for me. So I'm going to tell you how I've done it wrong, and how the Lord has helped me to be better than mid at this, but not much. So maybe next time Joshua can talk to us about it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 in the NLT. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Verse 7 in the CSB says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In the Message, it says, love puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. That is a lot to chew on, isn't it? I feel like that passage of scripture is so challenging, and I feel like it's something I'll be working on till the day I die. But in other words, it's saying love chooses to believe the best about other people rather than the worst whenever possible. So I just want to do a tiny caveat and say, whenever possible. This isn't talking about the extremes when this isn't appropriate or when there's relationships that are not healthy and not... This just isn't always possible, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about today, so extend me that grace and realize when I'm making statements, I'm not talking about those things. But love gives someone the benefit of the doubt and does not jump to conclusions. Eesh. How often do we assume the best and extend someone the benefit of the doubt? I know for me, naturally, that is very hard. I'm a reactionary person. You say something to me, I'm just going to respond right back, and that's the answer. And rather than giving you time, I'm going to assume that I know what you meant and what your intentions are. What? That is awful. When I say that out loud, that's almost embarrassing, right? Like, that's ridiculous. But yet, I do this thing, we do this thing. However, in each encounter, we have the invitation extended to us to be generous of heart, generous in our attitude towards others, even when that's super hard. But we can make the choice to give the benefit of the doubt. We also have the choice to go to skepticism and judgment, right? Like I said, for me, that's pretty easy. That's my, you know, unsanctified go-to. But that scripture in 1 Corinthians feels pretty clear about what we're supposed to do there. Believe the best. Extend that generosity and love for each other. For me, it's pretty easy to go in that mindset of assumption and judgment. Like, I see somebody that's living on the side of the road, and it's like, just try harder, get a job, stop it. Like, that's exactly how Jesus would respond to them, right? Just get a job, get over it. No, that's so gross. That's so gross. Like, that's even embarrassing to say that out loud, that those thoughts have run through this brain of mine. Maybe we hear a different opinion and, you know, dismiss it, just telling ourselves, they just don't understand. I understand. I know this. But we're assuming and we're passing judgment. We're not extending the benefit of the doubt to our brothers and sisters. We're not doing it. These attitudes, for me, lead to isolation. They lead to fostering division in my heart. They lead towards resentment. And that's a terrible place to live, right? That place of, I know better, oops, except now I'm all alone. And it's weighty, it's heavy stones that divide us from people that we love and we care for, and from community and from grace that we can extend each other. President George W. said this, and I just love it. Too often, we judge other groups by their worst examples while judging ourselves by our best intentions. Oofta, I'm going to read it again. It gets me every time. Too often, we judge other groups by their worst examples while judging ourselves by our best intentions. Aich, that is so true. I think we do this to each other too, not just groups, but to somebody that we're in community with. I need you to extend me grace for the story I'm going to tell you. Quite a few years ago, I was driving in South Eugene, and I didn't really know where I was going. This was before the phones could tell you everywhere. And my dad called me, so I'm talking on the phone. I'm running a little bit late, trying to make a few stops. Not sure where I was going. I was pretty uptight. And someone behind me just laid on the horn and just was, like, obnoxious. And I had hung up the phone by then, and I instinctively raised my hand, and you know what I did? I showed him the what would Jesus do finger, right? No, that is not what I did. And I was like, whoa, what on earth? Like, that is not something that I do typically, is, you know, extend the finger of fellowship, if you will. No, stop that. Don't make that a term. Yikes. And but what the driver that didn't know, apparently I cut him off or something, you know, what he didn't know is I had just hung up with my dad, who had told me my brother was just diagnosed with kidney failure and needed a miracle to survive. So I was listening to that, kind of not fully paying attention, and just got this terrible news. So what I needed in that moment was for that driver to say, ooh, wow, she's distracted. I'm going to give her some space, rather than laying on the horn and, like, making me upset. Not that it was his fault that I extended my hand. I'm not saying that. But I just needed that grace. I needed that benefit of the doubt of, like, something's going on there, right? You know, another time, I was the one that got flipped off because of whatever I did or didn't do. And so what is our responsibility in that? How do we react? You know, my flesh wants to lay on the horn and, you know, race him to the next stoplight that we're both going to be at. But now I'm in a place mostly that I can put myself in their shoes. I'm like, I wonder what's going on. I wonder where they're at. And I can pray for them and just have that posture, benefit of the doubt. Like, something's going on that they would flip off a stranger for barely bumping into their lane or whatever. A couple weeks ago, I had a couple of my nephews in the car, and we were over by Costco. And you know, over there, it's just crazy, and traffic can be just nuts. And we were turning, and somebody just laid on the horn around us. And my little 8-year-old said, ooh, Aunt Nell, somebody sounds like they're having a hard day. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. And so we just had that beautiful moment where he and I together could just pray for them and just ask the Lord to help them with whatever is going on, whatever is in their heart that's making them sad. But it was just so sweet to have that moment with him and not, you know, have that reactionary response that I did, you know, 25 plus years ago. So just to be clear, I do not run around flipping people off, typically. One exception in my life. Matthew 7, verse 12. Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Isn't that good? Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. So if we are wanting grace from people, we have to give grace away. If I'm wanting grace from the drivers around me, I get to give grace to them as well. Love chooses to give grace whenever it can, even if it's not deserved. That's hard. That's really tricky, right? I think it's easier to give grace to strangers than it is to people that we know well, people that we have a history of, that we hear chewing their lunch really loud, or whatever, you know? We want to be judged on our intentions, but what about the person that hurts us? I have this friend, and we've known each other for a long time. Like, we went to middle school, high school together, and we often did things together and helped organize church events. And after this one event, we went home, went our separate ways, and a little bit later, I got this scathing email from her. And it was just about all these things that I had done that she was upset about, to hurt her, that I just was not a great friend. And it was really upsetting. Like, it really hurt my feelings because a lot of it wasn't even true. Like, she made these assumptions about me that weren't accurate. They were her assuming and not asking. And in that moment, getting that email, you know, at 10 at night, I had a couple of choices. I had the option, and I wanted to make the choice to respond with grace, to not do back to her what she was doing to me. I wanted to assume, okay, I'm missing some information. I have hurt her, but I need to be humble and hear her out. And so we were able to work through that and, you know, clarified and, you know, had a healthy conversation about it. And once we got the clarification done, I was able to say to her, I need you to give me the benefit of the doubt in our friendships. I'm not ever purposely going to step all over you or hurt you, but I probably will. And I need you to just ask. Give me the benefit of the doubt and ask, or just say, hey, what do you mean by that? And when we had that bumpy, really uncomfortable conversation, and I could say that to her, it absolutely changed the trajectory of our friendship, where she would be like, oh, okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but I don't like what you just said right here, so help me understand. And I'm telling you, it was a game changer for our friendship. You know, if I would have responded the other way, it probably would have ended our friendship just because, you know, it was fairly volatile email that she sent me. You know, some people are just darn annoying. They're just great on us, right? Absolutely. I think there's people in our life that are extra grace required, and you just have to continually make that choice. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to choose to not be annoyed. I'm going to choose to love you in this moment and not assume based on what I know about you. And there's times when people don't have good motives. You're making assumptions, and you might be accurate about their motives, about their intentions, whatever. But I believe God is asking us to treat them as if they have pure motives, because I think most of the time that is the case. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we're looking at this generosity through the lens of our attitude. So our actions and our attitudes are seeds that we sow. If we sow suspicion, criticism, we're going to reap division and bitterness. It's going to be gross. But if we sow generosity with our attitudes, assuming the best, offering grace and kindness, we can stop the escalation of bad attitudes and cultivate unity, understanding, and love. So what if they don't deserve grace? Because I would say everyone in here has had a relationship or a conversation where this is the case. And I would say they don't. Maybe they don't. But that's where we make it a gift. Our generous attitude towards them is a gift. It's something extra that we're giving them. We are donating this benefit of that out to them. Quite a few years ago, someone told me, I want to buy you a car. And I'm like, what? Who does that? Who just goes and buys people a car? And they gave me this because it was on their heart to bless me. And no strings attached. I didn't do anything to deserve a car. They just wanted to bless me with a car. And I think this is that, where we're giving these gifts to someone that probably doesn't deserve it, that they haven't earned this. But it's going above and beyond what they've earned relationally. And that's hard. I don't want to say this like, oh, just do this, but it's really tricky. So when we're generous with our attitudes, we treat a person this way, it doesn't have anything to do with whether they deserve it or not, right? Believing the best is a gift we can choose to give. I love to give the gift of curiosity rather than judgment. Like, hey, you said that. Help me understand what you meant, rather than, oh, well, he's a jerk because he just said that. You know, again, that's Janelle's natural way. But that is not, I believe that's what the Lord is inviting us to not do. The other thing love does is chooses to not be offended. Yeesh, that is hard, especially in our very polarized culture. I think it's tricky. Oh, it's so hard. One of the things about my job here is I occasionally answer the phone, and it is a wild card of what's going to happen. This one time, this lady called, and she was needing some financial assistance. And so our, you know, method of operation is we just listen, ask questions, and just try to discern, Jesus, are you asking us to help this person, or is the answer no? So I was in that process with her, and it was, I felt like the Lord was just saying, this one's a no this time. And so we got to that point in the conversation, we're like, I'm really sorry, this is not something we're able to do this time. And she bites back, well, is there someone there with a better personality that could at least pray for me? And I'm like, oh, you know, just kind of laughed a little bit, but like, no, she's serious. But because I chose to give her the benefit of the doubt and realize, you know what, if you're in a place that you have to call a church and ask for financial help to feed your kids, you have a lot going on. And me responding back, anything but kindness is not the right answer, right? It was hard, let me tell you, because that day I was the only one there, so. But I chose to not be offended. Years ago, we had a lady that attended church here, and she had walked through some really hard situations in her life, and God had restored some beautiful things in her, and she decided it was now time to make friends. So she informed me that we were going to be friends. Oh, okay, I'm good, but whatever. So we had a couple of times, like we went for a walk, went out for coffee. She had me to her apartment for dinner, and I didn't want to be friends with her. Like, I could be nice and cordial, but she was looking for, like, a best friend that you're together many times a week. And I'm just like, I'm not interested in that. So trying to figure out how to say that to her, not hurt her feelings, realizing she's on a journey of learning how to make friends. And one day in all of this, she shows up at my office. She goes, well, I just want you to know, I'm sorry it's not going to work out for us to be friends. What? Who says that? I got friend-umped. and friend dumped to my face, and I wasn't even in middle school. And in that moment, I was like, I didn't respond. I'm just, okay, thank you. And I was so upset. I'm like, I want to be the one dumping you because you are annoying, right? I'm just being honest. I'm going to dump you. You are weird. Nobody wants to be with you. You know, this nonsense that our flesh loves to chew on. But that wasn't what God is asking me to do. But I was really upset, and it really hurt my feelings, even though I didn't want to be friends with her. But I had to make that choice to not be offended, to not be quipping back or telling her why she's so hard to be friends with, right? I'm just like, okay, well, I'm sorry if I communicated anything to you and whatever. But man, that was hard. Being friend dumped is hard. Oof. I think another area where the church needs an upgrade is on social media. I'm treading lightly on this one, but I think that we get offended too darn easy on social media, and I would like to challenge us to stop it. I personally don't ever get on Facebook or whatever, oh, let's see who's going to change my mind about what I think today, right? Like, that's not the place for it. I hear my tone getting a little sharp, so I'm going to dial it back. But I would just like to challenge you guys, try a different approach. Maybe if there's somebody that you see that's spouting nonsense, you could type a prayer right there, lifting up what they're bringing up, or invite them out for coffee. Talk face to face rather than doing that. But seek to understand what they're saying rather than these responses. Don't take offense and be generous with your response back, because it's hard. It's easy to be the keyboard warrior, and it's tricky. But not being offended with our coworkers. You guys know where I work, right? That it takes work, right? Like, our team, we love each other fiercely. And probably every week we get to make the choice, like, no, I'm not going to be offended by what he just said, but I'm going to sure as heck go clarify because that hurt my feelings or whatever. You know, friendships, teenagers, they say a lot of things that are real hurtful. But let's be curious with them, right? Yeah, you guys know. They're all laughing down here. You do. I did too. So Jesus, help us not to take offense. And I don't want us to, please don't hear me say, just blow on by it, you know? Like, that lady that friend dumped me, that really hurt me. I had to, like, feel that. I had to be uncomfortable. I had to, work through all the emotions connected to it. But I got to choose to walk in the opposite spirit and not retaliate and not snip back at her. So I wanted to ask one of the experts of this in my life to talk about how she is generous in her attitude. And something that I really admire about Abby is she is not a pushover, but she is naturally really good at this. So I just asked Abby to come and talk a little bit about what this looks like in her life.
Good morning. I think that for me, it's a little bit more of a natural bent that the Lord has given me to just assume well of people. I think that it is something that I do make choices in, but it is something that also the Lord has, I feel like, given me some sort of, gifting and anointing in. Doesn't mean that I don't struggle with very similar things that we all do of, like, leaving a conversation with somebody and being like, well, now what did they mean by that? Just replaying things, thinking about it. Did they mean to say that thing that would, like, really specifically hurt me? Do they know me that, don't they know me well enough? You know, just those sort of things that we come away from conversations with, and you just kind of lay in bed. And you know, we know that the enemy, we have an enemy of our souls. We have an enemy that's trying to divide us, that's trying to keep us separate, to make us not understand, not love one another. And so I think that's where he's playing a big part, is trying to have those conversations with us of like, yeah, they did mean to hurt you. They totally knew you're going through that scenario, and that's why they said it that way. And it's really not often the case. And I think when I invite God into those moments, he's never talking to me like that. Like, he's never being like, yeah, they were trying to hurt you. They totally were trying to, like, stab you with that comment. He's, like, definitely not talking to me like that. So I think in those moments, we, you know, we get to have some choice and some agency of, like, I am not going to continue to think about this. I'm not going to continue to give this energy, my own, like, focus and energy of today. I'm not going to put myself through unnecessary grief of, like, laboring over it and trying to take it apart and dissect it, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to pray about it, or I'm just going to stop thinking about it. And then there are situations when we don't just, you know, it's a little bit more than just that. And we, you know, there's times, I think we're faced with like three options. There's probably many more, but the three options when I have a conversation with somebody and I'm left with some like bad feelings, it's like either you talk to the Lord about it and you make a decision through his grace and strength to not be offended and to walk away, or you could make, or you maybe you need to go and talk to them because it was hurtful, and you, and in order to preserve the relationship and strengthen the relationship, you need to go and clarify and ask questions and say, that hurt my feelings. Or the other option is you walk away from the relationship, or you put up some walls and some boundaries. And I think even like assuming bad things of people is also maybe like a self-protective mechanism that we can have of like, oh, I better like, yeah, like stop myself from knowing them more, or letting myself be known by them, or communicating, or like letting them hurt me. And so you step away. And I don't know. I think that there's something in that we like to protect ourselves by assuming things so we don't get hurt in deeper, bigger ways in the future. Yeah. There's, years ago, I had a friend that I interacted with quite often, and I loved them, and we had a good time together, but then kind of like all of a sudden, I started to kind of feel like some of the way that they were communicating with me was like they were joking too much about my life, and I didn't appreciate that. I just felt like, this is real. Like, why is everything I say you're responding with like a joke? Like, that's not very nice. And this feels like a big deal and serious, you know, like pay, like give me some sincerity, or give me, you know, whatever. And I was kind of struggling with it for like some time. Like maybe there was like a month, and then I think I brought somebody in that I trusted into this scenario, and just like, I don't, this person's really just like getting under my skin, and I'm not really sure what to do about it, and this is, you know, this is what's going on, and they challenged me with, okay, well, here's your options are, you know, go talk to them about it, or don't be offended about it, because it's probably not that they're trying to hurt you, but that they just are different from you, and they're communicating in the way that they communicate, and so if you feel like it's a big enough deal, then you need to go and bring it before them. And so I struggled with it for some more months. and just prayed about it and brought it to the Lord. And then this friend checked in on me down the road, the one that I had brought into the situation. It was Janelle. I'll just say Janelle did.
She was so wise.
and she was just like, you know, how's that going? And I realized like, oh, I'm actually not offended anymore. Like the Lord has filled me with grace for them, and I don't feel hurt by that. I realize that it's not them intentionally hurting me in any way at all. And I think, you know, and anyway, so that was one thing, example of that happening. But I think like Janelle talked about it a lot. Like we want people to extend grace to us, and like we have to be willing to extend that grace to others and to assume that they're not trying to hurt us. And we've received grace from the Lord, and we get to like participate in what he's doing and how he extends that grace to us by extending it to others. And then one other place that I've seen this I've had experience in this area is I think in motherhood. There is a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of scenarios where you say something and that's the wrong thing to say, or you don't say anything and that's the wrong thing to do. Like you give advice like, oh, you know, do it in this way, like wake them, a newborn, like I don't remember how it goes. What is it like? Never mind. I didn't follow that advice, so I obviously didn't commit it to memory. But there's just like, there's lots of things we can say like, oh, like just, you know, cherish every moment. And then to that person, it's like that mom, it's like, that's really offensive, you know. Or to another mom, you're like, yeah, just like lay him down, let him cry it out. And that's really offensive. And there's just a lot of areas that we can like in motherhood that we can take offense to what someone is saying to us, and really they're just trying to like be with us and give us some encouragement and try and like relate with us and have empathy, and maybe they don't specifically know exactly what we need to hear, and that's okay. And I think that we need to be willing to, as moms, receive it as like a gift, as just whatever, as them trying as best they can, and not receive it as them trying to offend us or make us work harder or I don't know. There's obviously, this is just like one little example in the area that I'm involved in right now as a mom. And we all have different places that we're involved in. I think that that you can have the same sort of experience where it's just easy to take offense. It's easy and it's normal in our culture, and it's just not what the culture of God, what God calls us to, is to be unoffendable, I think, and to, extend grace and ask questions and seek understanding.
It's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you do it beautifully, so thank you for sharing your wisdom in that. She's definitely somebody that helps me calibrate that, like, hey, they said this. What do you think that they meant? And she just brings a lot of good, healthy calibration for me. Could we get the prayer team to come? So this week, I want to invite you, to encourage you as kindly and bossily as I can, to make it a point to practice generosity. Maybe driving is an area where you can work on that. Maybe you're the one that keeps flipping me off. I don't think so. But start each day with a prayer, asking him to open your heart to the beauty in others. Ask him to just give you that perspective that he has. When you encounter the conflict and misunderstanding, take a second. Don't lift that hand like I did. When that cashier is, you know, chirping at you, just be kind. Like, hey, how did you sleep last night? Or whatever that looks like. But respond with grace rather than judgment. And just, you know, invite the Lord into that process. So the passage where we started in 1 Corinthians, verse 7, says, love puts up with anything, trusts God always. Always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. So I asked Abby to pray for us in this because it is something that she walks in. So Abby, would you just pray that over all of us?
Jesus, thank you that you are with us, that you are strengthening us and empowering us to walk as your children. Lord, you desire for us to live at peace with one another, to communicate well with each other, to love each other well with grace, Lord. I ask that you would strengthen us to live generously towards each other in our relationships with one another, that you would give us the words to say, the questions to ask, the self-control to not let our minds run off with assumptions, Lord. Pray over this tribe, Lord, that we would be known as kids of God that love one another well, love others well. Jesus, amen.
Amen. So come today if this is an area where you're asking the Lord for an upgrade, or you just need encouragement or healing in your body, whatever it is, I just want to invite you. These teenagers are full and overflowing, so you definitely want to get in on some of that. So bless you today. Have a great day. Go be generous to your waitresses at lunch. Tip them well. Smile, assume the best.